is good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia for Nostalgia podcast. My name is Nostalgia, aka Taylor. Joining me is Kalex Everything. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's another Taylor Kayla podcast.
Yes, it is. Zoe is, I believe, on a cruise.
He's in
the middle of the ocean. So he's incommunicado right now, but it's okay. It's okay. So we're gonna, me and Kayla are gonna have a nice little conversation. No screaming, no yelling, no nothing. You know how it is.
Yeah, we're the calm ones. Together, yes, we bring peace to the universe.
So today is a pretty interesting day. It's a topic that I brought to Kayla randomly, that I thought would be pretty funny. And It was a situation in which I was like, hey, can you teach me or about magical girls? Just like, it's like random.
And nothing brought me more joy.
Yeah, because, you know, one thing, and I always say this about like the podcast, is what I try to do, is what me and Zoe try to do too, is like try to find stuff that normally that I wouldn't go out and watch or research or look at when it comes to like the genre of anime and manga. And a lot of times, like, you come out with a different kind of perspective on things, or like a new love for certain genres and stuff like that. Personally, I don't think I'll ever really get into the magical girl genre per se.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But it's cool to like have that knowledge of it and just kind of like be able to, for anybody that has a fandom of anime and all different kind of genres, to be able to kind of have like a conversation with them and, you know what I'm saying, share our love for the genre, even though we don't have the same similar taste. Feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it makes sense. There's a love of learning something new. And you can just, it's just nice to appreciate someone's passion for something, right? So if someone's popping off about magical girls, which I will today, it's just going to be nice for the viewers to go, okay, Kayla's going off on another tangent about something that was not ever on the radar before. I am very excited, because what I'm really excited about is that you did a little more research about like the history of magical girls, where I'm coming in with more of the feeling. So we have facts and feelings, the podcast today.
Yes, we do. So I guess I think we'll do the main thing that brought me to this magical girl topic towards the end.
Sure.
But so to kind of go on like the history of it, right? Like, in the research that I, and you know, I usually take notes because I'm just, that's just kind of how I am.
Type A.
Very type A. When it comes to the history of magical girls, there's like a title that comes that predates the first show that I'm going to introduce, but it's not necessarily a magical girl per se. It's like they have like the, it's like a girl tries, it's like a girl is like a princess, but like dresses as a prince and helps fight for this kingdom. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't remember what the title is, but it's like, the guy who made Astro Boy is the writer of that show. Mm-hmm. So it's like really, really old. But the first like true magical girl show is Sally the Witch, which is an anime that dropped in the 60s. And it is the show that inspired the American show Bewitched.
I actually want to just look at the art real quick. It's Sally the Witch.
Yep.
Because anime girls gotta look. Yes. Yes. I didn't watch this one, but the other one that you mentioned before we started the podcast, I was like, oh, I've actually seen bits and pieces of this. Mm-hmm. That is her. When she transforms, she gets the red hair.
Yep.
So this is what I have seen. But I've never seen her when she's normal. I've only seen her in witch form.
Yeah. So I think the story is Sarah the Witch is a princess of a magical kingdom who wants to visit the mortal realm to make friends her own age. By one day, by mistake, she teleports to the mid-world, which is Earth, where she uses her magic to fend off some burglars menacing two schoolgirls. And then she kind of like, that's basically how she kind of gets, you know, saying, involved in the world, in Earth or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, and then it says that Sally the Witch is what inspired the show Bewitched.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. Like, just kind of having that.
It is very cute.
Like, having the, looking up Bewitched too. 8 seasons, came out in 1964. None of these actors, I have no clue who these people are.
They've been gone a long time.
They've been gone. I feel like Zoe would know who these people are.
He would.
Zoe, if you're listening, do you know who Elizabeth Montgomery, Dick York, and Agnes Moorehead are?
This guy, Dick. That's who he is. Unfortunately, yeah, Zoe does often act like our producer. You know, like how like the basement yard will have like that guy in the back that's like, here's the facts. That's yep. Who Andre is to us, where we're like, please fact check us.
Yeah, who is this person?
Yeah. Google.
right.
Yeah.
So Toei Animation kind mm-hmm. of jumps off with Sally the Witch and kind of invents the genre of magical girls, which is called Majoko, I think it's pronounced.
I think it's how you say it, yeah.
And that kind of, that's like, it kicked off that kind of genre in the 70s with two shows that I think, these names are insane.
They're not as crazy as the... what's that genre we were talking about last time?
Well, like light novels?
They're not as crazy as light novels, but they can get a little like crazy.
Like Creamy Mommy, which is nuts. Like it's
wild. It's a insane. It's a different time.
It's still
That's
insane.
It's a wild though. Thing to say. Yeah.
Still insane.
Crazy.
And then the one that you know, Princess Minky Momo.
Yeah. I do know Princess Minky Momo. I never watched it, but I, you know, you got to honor your elders, right? Like, where did your magical girls come from? But yes, I had heard of Minky Momo and seen a few clips that will, like, you know, travel through Tumblr and Twitter back when I had them back in the day. You know, and you wave by as they cross the night. As the two passing ships, it's like, Minky Momo and Sailor Moon, you're like, okay, I'm gonna hop on that ship instead.
Yeah.
it's magical girls have come such a long way, but their formula is the same, you know? Mm-hmm. And I used to obviously be a bigger magical girl fan, because they are geared more towards children. To, you know, it's kind of like how princesses in Disney are geared towards getting, you know, young girls to buy the dresses and the jewelry and all that jazz. Magical girls are kind of formulated the same way, where it's like, you got to buy the wand or the transformation set or whatever the case may be. So right. Even though I don't watch them as often or read them as often, I still appreciate them and love when a transformation scene is like put into any show or anime, and we know like it's a nod to being a magical girl.
Yeah.
Is there any specific magical girl that you wanted to start talking about? Because I have a list.
I was gonna introduce the fact that like two shows that really, I guess, took off when it came to the magical girl scene was Sailor Moon and Cardcaptor Sakura.
Yes.
There are probably shows that predate that you probably know, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 100. I'm not sure.
I think I move a little bit later into the genre. Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of like a good, I mean, for people like me that don't really know much about the magical girl genre, like I've heard of Sailor Moon.
Yes.
I've seen yes. episodes of Sailor Moon before, like not just kind of in like where I'm not fully paying attention, but like it's on and I've seen it, like seen episodes, you see clips, you see the transformations, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a good starting point for us to have, is like,
absolutely,
the lore and history of Sailor Moon.
Yeah. People will really like, yes, there are magical girl shows that predate Sailor Moon, but Sailor Moon, they had something special in the sauce. They really did something with her. So The science of a really good magical girl is 9 times out of 10, you have a team. Each of those team members represent a different color, a different planet, a different style. Like there's a lot of ways you can play up the differences in your team character, in your team members, you know, names. There's always a pet or a friend or an item that is bestowed upon you that makes you the magical girl, because you're typically not like born one. It not like you know the American show Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Yes,
she's born a magical creature, and then she gets a wand that makes, or she's born in a magical world and gets a wand. So she doesn't really have like a creature that's like, hey, you have to save the world. It's more like, hey, you kind of just get this as a princess, and then you can make it whatever you want. And because she's so zany, crazy, power of imagination, she is essentially a magical girl, even mm-hmm. though she doesn't have like a transformation scene or anything. But Sailor Moon, the way that it starts, for those of you who have never watched it, she is a normal girl, Usagi, which means moon, or like moon bunny, that sort of deal. And she's a regular girl until a cat named Luna approaches her, and she's like, you are the lost princess Serenity from the moon, and we have to save the moon, and we have to like use our magical powers to like save the universe. And Usagi's like, no, I'm just a girl. She is OG running with toast in mouth to school girl. Always running late. Yeah. She's a big crybaby. Like, she's just not a hero. That's just not who she is until later, because of the power of friendship and standing up. But what made Sailor Moon, I think, so special is that during the time of Sailor Moon, a lot of boy shows were coming out, like boy, quote unquote, right? So it was very much like you had your Astro Boy, you had your Dragon Ball Z, you had a lot of things of like big characters always screaming, not very emotion driven. So besides the fact that the art wasn't geared towards girls, it just wasn't the way that most girls process feelings. Like, I'm not going to get mad and then immediately fight you. I'm going to get mad and I'm going to think about it. I'm going to cry about it. And then I'll get back at you. and Sailor Moon had that. Sailor Moon cried not only because of her enemies, but to her enemies. And a lot of them would be like, I'm not evil. I'm just doing my job. Like, there was a lot of empathy that happened in Sailor Moon, which I appreciated as a child, because I'm like, I recognize this. But anyway, oh, I'm getting a call and I have to ignore that. So sorry. When duty calls. I'm just going to take a quick cut. Hold on, because it's my dad.
Oh my God. I want to keep it in so bad. I want to keep that in so bad.
Isn't he the most precious in the whole wide world?
That was awesome.
I love him. It's my dad.
That was so funny.
He's a funny man. Because my mom right now is in Spain, so I'm in charge of keeping my dad alive while she's gone. Because he always starts to do some project. And he always injures himself when my family like leaves on vacation without him, or when one of us has to like leave. He just gets antsy. Anyway, we'll cut all that out.
and we're back.
Sorry, guys. I had to do a quick cut.
Oh, but
anyway, so Sailor Moon is also not for all the girls, because not all girls are like me, where we cry about everything and process our emotions. Sometimes we need other characters that make us feel like we belong. So we have Sailor Mars, Sailor Venus, Sailor Mercury, Sailor Jupiter, all characters who have different things about them that attracts people to the show. Sailor Mercury is super smart. She's a straight A student. Sailor Jupiter is strong and tough, and she's like also kind of like the mom character of the group. She's really tall. Sailor Mars is a hothead. She and Sailor Moon argue all the time because she's like, don't do that. Just burn it on fire. Sailor Venus is obviously, she's just gorgeous. Like, she's like the lover girl. People thought that she was supposed to be the main character, but she's not. But she would have been in another world. all in all, the show really set the stage for everybody in the future to have a magical girl transformation scene that comes with the lights and the sounds and the music, and you know things are happening. In the beginning, Sailor Moon only has her... she just transforms because I forgot the main trinket that she has. I believe it's a heart-shaped gem. I could be wrong.
Is it the one like right here on her collar?
Yeah, it's well, that's a circle gem that's on her the bow on her Sailor Scout outfit. But I believe what transforms her is a heart, and I could be wrong, or I could be mixing up Tokyo Mew Mew, because in Tokyo Mew Mew, which we'll talk about later, Ichigo from Tokyo Mew Mew transforms with a heart-shaped. It's a heart with a bell that dangles in the middle with two wings on the side. And that's how she transforms. It's really cool.
Okay.
But Sailor Moon transforms. And as she gets stronger and gets more powers. Oh, sorry. Sailor Moon transforms with a compact that it has a little golden star and different colored gems that all match the moons. Sorry. Woo. I'm not a fake fan. That's what she also, it's like a little compact mirror, basically. I only remembered because I wanted a tattoo of it, and it just jogged my memory. Mm. But in the beginning, she just transformed with that. But as she gets more powerful and gets like power ups in the future, she gets like a wand. She gets other things that like help her transform. That transformation scene in the beginning used to show more details of her body. And then the USA was like, that's for children. What's that bump there? Why are you showing a nip? And they're like, women have nipples. You got to show that. What's that cut right there? Who is that? So they obviously blurred a lot of that out. But they kept it in Japan for a very long time. And then eventually, as generations passed, magical girls don't show specifics, but they will still show the curvature of bodies. And typically every magical girl has a different like themed song to their, you know, each of their friends have a different like sound. So far we have main girl has to be chosen by an animal. That's formula number one. Magical animal friend item. We'll have friends, at least one, that helps you on your journey to being a magical girl. And you gotta have a cool transformation scene. That in essence is what a magical girl is. And Sailor Moon just helped all future generations with that. And you even see it in like other things, which the one that we'll talk about later in the episode, but also even in Craig of the Creek. There is a little girl who has the magical bubble wand. I forget her name, but she is. He would know. But she is very Sailor Moon coded.
Yes,
she's like
she
a savior of like space, basically. And she has like her little bubble wand, and she has her own transformation scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a nod to all magical girls.
Yes. Yes.
You mentioned another one. It was a Cardcaptor Sakura.
Yep.
Okay. So what's really funny about Cardcaptor Sakura is, yes, she has the magical friend. Yes, it is her job to save the world. Her magical powers don't help her transform an outfit. I thought this was such a funny take. So she actually has so many outfits. The creator of the show loved fashion. So Sakura was always in new outfits. But the reason why she's in those new outfits is because she has a rich best friend who finds out she's a magical girl and is like, you cannot be running around in the same outfit. What if people take photos of you? You need new outfits. So she literally drives around in a van and makes her change her clothes.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And her friend is like weirdly obsessed with her and like always takes photos of her. It's like, look at my album of like how cute you are. You're the cutest in the world.
That's crazy.
It's one of my favorite weird takes on like,
yeah,
you have magical powers and you can like summon creatures from cards, but you can't change your clothes.
Yes, she doesn't have a transformation scene. She doesn't have one.
She kind of does.
Is it like a scene where she like just making the assumption? Is it where she's like she's about to show off like a power she has? So she has a little like.
She gets special like little things, like her staff becomes long, like she had like it appears because it's Kerberos, which is her animal, like helps with like some of the transformation, but the outfits come from her rich friend.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And you know, stop me at any time if you have any questions, because I have a few more on the list. One of my favorites that I own in my manga. I own Sailor Moon, but I also own Tokyo Mew Mew. Tokyo Mew Mew is ingrained into my brain forever. She is the original cat girl. She is cat girl OG, okay? I love her. All of the little, all of her friends. So Sailor Moon, all of her friends based off planets. Mm-hmm. All of Tokyo Mew Mews are based off of food. Her friends have names like one of her friends is named Lettuce.
So it's like, if my memory is correct, I could be completely wrong on this. I think that Dragon Ball Z is almost the same. Let me fact check myself because
we don't have Andre. You got to fact check ourselves.
Are the characters in Dragon Ball Z named after food? Yes. Okay. I was correct. Okay.
Love like, that.
So Raditz is a pun on radish.
Love that.
Vegeta is a pun on the word vegetable.
Uh-huh.
Kakarot is a pun on carrot. Broly is a pun on broccoli.
Love that.
Piccolo for pickle, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, all the Saiyans are named after vegetables. That's what it is.
Okay. Okay. So for Tokyo Mew Mew, it's so Ichigo obviously means strawberry. Mm-hmm. Lettuce. Then the blue one is mint. The little yellow one is pudding. And then the last one, the oldest girl, her name is Zakuro. She doesn't get a fun little.
She doesn't get one?
She doesn't get a fun little. I don't know if that's a food. I'd have to like actually go in and do more research. But so all of them are food except for her, I believe.
Can I stop you real quick?
Of course.
Something just clicked in my mind. So obviously we've talked about Bleach several times on this podcast.
Yes.
I did not realize that Ichigo means strawberry.
Yeah.
And there is like a big part in the story of Bleach where the mm-hmm. chapter's name or like something is named Death and Strawberry. And it just clicked.
Yeah.
That it's about it. Oh, Kubo. Taito Kubo, you are probably one of the best writers of all time. That is insane. That is insane.
All the magical girls know there are so many girl characters named Ichigo because it's like strawberry, cute, and girly pink, which I do love that Ichigo is named after that as well.
Yes. Okay. Sorry to stop it, but that just clicked for me. Not on mine. I was like, oh my God.
No, you're so good. And you know, Hime means princess.
Yeah.
So Orihime, she's
that's cool.
Princess-like. Yeah. So the cool thing about Tokyo Mew Mew is they are saving the world. Typically a space invasion. Don't know what was the deal with like aliens and stuff, but definitely gave me my love of aliens. And one day I hope that my future man comes from the stars. But they all work at a maid cafe. And all of their powers, like even though they're all named after food, all of their transformations are based off of powers from animals. So Ichigo is from a cat. Lettuce is from a porpoise. It's so dumb, but she's from a porpoise, which is dumb because her transformation scene, she plays castanets to change, which is really cool. But I'm like, what does this porpoise have to do with castanets? I don't understand. Mint comes from a bird, so that's a little blue bird, and she does ballet, so her transformation scene is very, like, very strict, but, like, beautiful, old style, like, ballerina. Pudding is from a monkey, so she does, like circus-type tricks. Okay. And Zakura, I forgot, is a gray wolf. So her transformation scene is actually, like, it has a special cut at the end that she jumps from the moon. Nobody else gets that. Like, everyone else just gets their scene and then they, like, pose. But her last pose is jump from the moon, then pose.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's wild. But, yeah, they did a number on my brain. And then in the future, they came out with a, like, side story one where Ichigo kind of, like, has to go. And a new leader has to be made. And there was a da-da-da combination animal crossover thing. And so the newest, like, leader, she's half bunny, half cat. And somewhere in the background, all the men screamed. But I loved her.
We just hear faint barking in the background.
Exactly. Somewhere in the background.
Oh, my computer's going to die. No. No. Can't have that. Mm-mm. Okay.
Okay, we're back in business. Oh, gosh.
You're really bad. Totally fine.
That's really funny. One thing I wanted to bring up about, like, some of the Magical Girl series, especially, like, Sailor Moon, was, like, I know they had romance elements as a part of the show. And specifically, Sailor Moon had, what was it, Tuxedo?
Tuxedo Mask.
Mask.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Tuxedo Man. I was like, that makes no sense.
Tuxedo Man.
Yeah, so I remember Tuxedo Mask, because I just remember one of my favorite, like, parts of Sailor Moon, or one of my favorite, like, anime jokes that gets run into the gutter all the time. It's just like, looks like my work here is done, but you didn't do anything. And then
correct. No, he never did anything, which is why, like, I mean, I love it because the girls had to do the jobs themselves.
Yes.
But he would just come by, inspire Sailor Moon, because he'd kind of, like, be in the distance. She's like, oh, he's here. And then he would throw Rose to the ground. And then he'd leave. Unless he was needed to, like, catch her or something.
Did he have magical powers?
No, he's just a dude. He's just a dude. He's a prince.
It makes it way more funny.
He's the reincarnation of Serenity's husband.
Okay.
So she's a princess. He's a prince. Inuyasha
situation.
Kinda, yeah. Like, I mean, they're both reincarnation, so they're both looking for each other. So not Inuyasha in the way that, like, he's got to choose. It's more so he's like, I'm remembering that you're the love of my life. Which is crazy because in the beginning of Sailor Moon, she's in love with this guy that works at an arcade. And he's, I mean, he's a ditz, but he's a much better choice than Tuxedo Mask is. But he's tall and has black, jet black hair and a cool attitude.
Yeah.
But wasn't
there some sort of, like, age discrepancy between Usagi and Tuxedo Mask, or whoever the actual guy was?
Yeah, she's... So in the original anime, she's in middle school, and he's in high school.
Oh my god!
And, like, older high school too. Like, yeah, it's like, he's like a third year. It's like she's a seventh grader and he's, like, a junior.
Oh god!
But they were married. They were married before.
Oh my god.
It's so bad. Actually, okay, so you know what's crazy?
It's horrible, man.
It's horrible. It's no, we do not condone and we do not accept. But me, obviously, like, okay, this is a great little mini segue. So over this weekend, I saw the movie Call Me By Your Name with Timothée Chalamet.
Okay.
I had never seen this movie before. But Timothée Chalamet plays, like, a 17-year-old boy. And they live, like, in Italy because the dad does, like, research there. And they basically house a college student who's, like, 23, 25 years old. And then they have this little affair, like this little illegal gay affair. And it's called Call Me By Your Name because the guys' names are Elio and Oliver, and mm-hmm. they call each other by their own names. I find that to be weird. I'd want my lover to say my name, but, you know, pop off, whatever gets you going. But yeah. I was telling my friends as we were watching this, I'm like, I'm trying to get into the story. I think it's really beautiful, but I can't get around that. I think the main boy is Elio. Elio is a child. He is 17, and that's a predator.
Yeah.
It makes it a little hard for me to enjoy. Because when I was a kid and I saw Sailor Moon, I'm like, obviously nothing wrong. An older boy, that's so cool. And as an adult, I'm like, if my seventh grade daughter brought a junior into this house, I'm calling the police and I'm beating him up. You know? But that's always the case too, because in Cardcaptor Sakura, it's the same deal. I think she's in elementary school.
And who is the guy that she's...
I think he's in high school.
Oh.
Because he's her older brother's friend.
Oh.
Every time. Oh, every time. Why the kids? So little.
Dude. Oh, man.
I think also in Tokyo Mew Mew, because Ichigo is a high schooler and her love interest is the owner of the cafe, I believe. I wanted her to be, I never got what I wanted. There is a alien with green hair that I used to watch. Do you remember old YouTube when people mm-hmm. used to make like little romance AU videos? And it's just like scenes from the show with like music yeah. and heart filters. I'd be in computer class and I would be watching those of Ichigo. And I think his name is like Kieran. It starts with a K. Kirsha, yeah. something like that. I wanted them to be together so bad. He was age appropriate. They were the same age. She ended up with that older man.
That's insane.
Why is the older man always coming, knocking down these kids' doors, bursting through their windows?
Yeah, nah.
Crazy yeah, work. but yeah, so that trend has to die, actually, because it's also here. In Shugokara, who it's also on my list, what's really problematic is the main girl, Amu, is in middle school, and her love interest, which is this like black cat guy, is in high school.
Man.
And he's much older. And that was, there was a whole like, it was a few months on TikTok when I would like get these like old anime shows like brought up again. And then all the people were like, wait a minute. I'm rewatching this as an adult, and this is highly problematic. When I was a kid, I wanted them to be together. He was the cool black cat guy. And I'm like,
yeah.
Why are all these things coming back up?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So I guess the other thing is an older, inappropriate man. Is that
a prerequisite to being a magical girl?
Is that a part of the formula? Not always, because I have a savior.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure that this show doesn't have any male interests. It's just little friends that are girls. Mm-hmm. It's called Magical Doremi, and it's one of the cutest, like, kind of rubber hose style animes I've ever seen. And it's about this main magical girl that is, her name is Doremi. And all of the magic is like brought on by music. So they have like a little pad that has different notes on them and they click it. And that's how like they transform into their little, they're called pretty witches. So they mm-hmm. go pretty witchy and then they say their name. And it's just them fighting crime. No men involved as far as I'm concerned. I didn't watch the whole show, but I would see little clips. But I am worried now that I'm going to have to look at more magical animes and be like, how many of these have a much older problematic man that we must crush? Nuts.
That's insane.
We can't keep doing this to the kids.
Can't keep doing this at all. So changing gears a little bit. I do want to kind of get into the topic of transformations and like
yes.
that being the large I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't know about Magical Girl anime, you know about transformations.
Yes.
Right? And with, I know you kind of alluded to it, you've mentioned like the different types of transformations and mm-hmm. what triggers them, and just the kind of, it's like basically what each person does in their transformation or whatever. And I thought,
yeah.
I came to a really funny, I guess, I don't know, like not conclusion, but like I kind of like put two together, but a funny correlation. That's what the word.
Yeah.
And that is that Magical Girls is just tokusatsu for girls.
What's toku? What's that?
Power Rangers and Kamen Rider.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. absolutely. So basically, there are a lot of anytime. So like Superman wouldn't qualify for a Magical Girl because he actually goes and gets changed, right? But when a suit appears, let's say like Green Lantern, for example, that he puts on his ring and then his outfit shows up.
And he said the chant.
And he said a little chant. That's a Magical Girl. That's a Magical Girl. And we can all agree. So sure. Really, like, it doesn't have to be the whole lights and music and stuff. But if your clothes is magically appearing or supernaturally or whatever, congratulations. Welcome to the club.
Exactly. And it's so funny, like, you watch, like, watching Power Rangers, specifically Power Rangers. Because yes. I know, like, I didn't really watch Kamen Rider early, like, tokusatsu stuff as a kid. But, like, well, technically, Power Rangers is tokusatsu. But I didn't know that at the time. I was just a child, right?
You were just enjoying a show.
Exactly. It's kind of like how you didn't realize Pokemon was an anime until you get older.
Correct.
It's the
correct.
Same thing. With Power Rangers, they have like they show the little like thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
they put attached to their belt, and then they just like have this like pose where they come in with their suit on. They jump in the fight to like save people, and it's like it's always something somewhat magical, supernatural. Like they have they don't have a companion. Like Zordon is not a companion, but he's like
right.
the magical, mystical being that like tells them where to go and tells them who to fight, essentially.
I'm trying to remember. Okay, so I used to be a big fan of the show Zaboomafoo with the Krat Brothers. Uh-huh. And when the Krat Brothers were like outside in the jungle, they were always wearing one outfit. Mm-hmm. But when they slid into the Zaboomafoo like area where the show would start, mm-hmm. did they not get their uniforms of being like in blue and green with khakis? So one could say the Krat Brothers are Magical Girls. And Zaboomafoo is their chosen animal friend that helps them save the world.
That's
the
animal world. That's so funny.
I feel like we have to have an episode of just finding people that are Magical Girls and like building them together.
Oh yeah, like build like a Magical Girl group together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when Sora gets different keys and different outfits, Pookie, that's a Magical Girl.
Oh, so I was like, I like that one.
I love that. He would be yelling right now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's a Magical Girl.
But yeah, like when I was thinking about like the how they kind of go through the transformation and stuff like that. I immediately thought about the fact that like I used to love when the Power Rangers would like power up and then stuff
it's
like
cool.
that. And then when like going back, and I know me and Zoe did a tokusatsu versus like Western superheroes kind of episode.
Yeah.
And I watched a bunch of like clips and stuff of tokusatsu to kind of like at least like get a good idea of what to talk about.
Sure.
And like they do, it's like with Power Rangers with the American version, I know it's like Japanese clips that American actors are on top of, but like Kamen Rider is like way more expressive and like they do the poses a lot more, like, and like if they're flipping into stuff, like they have like this weird, like these weird poses where they do some stuff and then go to their belt, or they have like a certain thing that triggers their suit to come up and stuff like that. It's like a very, it was interesting.
Yeah, it's
to
like
see
pose,
that.
pose, suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Power Rangers where they just kind of showed the was like Mastodon and show the thing and then they would just like put it on their belt and then they would just like flip into action.
Yeah.
It's like Kamen Rider or the other ones associated with that are like way more there's like a lot more involved into the transformation, and that's like a big part of that genre.
Yeah.
And I think it's like so when I was when I was thinking about magical transformation, I was like, this is just tokusatsu for girls.
I think that what you're experiencing is magical girl for boys. Because I feel like, I don't know, I don't, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? But I feel like we created the genre, and then guys were like, I think it'd be cool to also change our clothes. The people would like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get stuff like Gundam and mech shows.
Yes.
Are kind of the similar vein, too, where, like,
yeah.
You get these where these they're the mechs kind of like transform and you see like the stuff pop out and even like more recent titles like Mercury and the Witch or whatever, Witch for Mercury or whatever, which is like a Gundam show. And it's like Suleta's Gundam goes through a transformation when it's powering up and stuff like that. And I think it's really cool to see in that, in that regard too. And like in the Gundam shows, I know there were a couple of them that were kind of like for the girls in some capacity.
Yeah.
So I can't really draw the line at that's like magical girls for boys kind of.
I feel like it's like there's a tree and magical girls is the tree, but there are different branches because there definitely is like that Gundam mecha branch where you're like, yeah, that's one. And then superheroes is another where it's like, we're all part of the magical girl tree, but we don't call ourselves that. There's like independent branches that are like, well, I wouldn't say I'm a magical girl, but you're under the umbrella, you're under the leaves, buddy, you know. Say it proud. And that's okay. But I think it would be funny to see how many people, places, things would be considered magical girl shows if we did it of like, there's a transformation scene, you have friends, so Power Rangers, they're friends who are saving the world. All we need is a problematic romance character.
Exactly. But funny enough, so that has a question I was going to bring up that I wrote down.
Yeah.
Is Kill la Kill a magical girl show?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Like, without even taking a breath.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love the transformations are insane, by the way, because they really were like, okay, you know, Sailor Moon had, they were showing a little, they were leaving stuff to the imagination. They were a little something. It's like, no, we're going to be fully nude when we transformation.
Correct. Transformation scene. Yeah. It's also, it's like panty and stocking. Like that's a magical girl show.
Yep.
Full on, like we're strippers. but we're reverse stripping for y'all, and we're magical girls, angels. What are they?
I don't remember.
I think they're angels.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
Well, I mean, and I think they're remaking it, so I guess we get to have that question
and we can watch it again
for us.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh man, yeah. I thought about that too. I was like, Kill la Kill definitely falls into the magical girl umbrella because of like, well, obviously the transformations just kind of make it very obvious, but then you get like, she has friends that help like with a Mako. I don't remember the main character's name, but I remember Mako because Mako was my favorite character. She's so funny. And then like even the villains have magical girl transformations.
In magical girl shows, the villains typically do get a little something, something. In Sailor Moon, all of the villains were different before they transformed.
Really?
Because they have to hide amongst civilians. Then they transform just like everybody else.
It's not that like that JoJo meme where it's like, I can't figure out who the villain is. And it's like the most stylish person you've seen in your life.
The Joe star. It's right there. It was so funny because yesterday I went thrifting. And I was like going through all these like bunk shirts. Obviously, that you're gonna see like weird stuff.
Yeah,
I found three different JoJo, like classic old shirts, and I was like, do I get this? I wanted to get one for Andre, but they were like extra small. And I'm like, could we make this a crop top on him? Sure. Would he never wear it outside? Never. And that's not the point. But yeah, I saw like some of those, and then like really old like Naruto shirts that I remember from like Hot Topic circa 2002.
Yeah, you should get him one of those. That'd be really funny.
That's so true, because he hates it. Even though he has no choice, he has to watch it with us.
He has to. There's gonna be a day where all three of us are together, and we're just gonna be like, we're gonna sit down and watch Naruto together.
Yeah, it's like, listen, we'll give you a crispy Dr. Pepper. We'll get you your chicken pub sub, and you gotta sit and you gotta watch. Because eventually, I feel he's gonna like it. He just has to get past him not liking Naruto's voice or personality or whatever. There are more characters to like.
I don't know. I think a random tangent. We talked about tangents earlier today, but this one makes sense. It's fine. We can come back later. I do think Kid Naruto is annoying. Like, as an adult, like, I don't like Kid Naruto as much as I did when I was a child.
Because he's for the kids.
Exactly. And so my appreciation for that show stems from a more nostalgic feeling about one of the first few animes that I actually watched, which is Naruto, right?
Yeah.
You could get past him being an annoying kid because at the end of the day, you realize he's a child.
Yes. If you're watching it, like, he's a kid. He doesn't know anything. We have other characters that are going to help him figure it out.
Yeah.
I, you know, there are some times where, like, yes, sometimes main characters are unbearable. They can't all be perfect like Tanjiro from Demon Slayer, who is an angel among us and is one of the sweetest, best character written ever in the world. Sometimes you get a Naruto who's going to be a little annoying, and they're going to have a cutscene to a lonely swing once an episode for 100 episodes. And you have to be okay with that, because at the end of the day, the story is still good.
Exactly.
To readjust my headphones.
Yeah. Circling back to Magical Girls.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's basically we can think about that for another time too. Like having finding new shows that qualify as magical girl shows.
For sure.
And then maybe trying to build our own magical girl team.
Yes. Like
a draft or something.
Yes, because then it could also be like individuals. Like, not everyone transforms into a magical girl, but there are some people who do, depending on your powers or whatever. So, like, I was trying to think, like, if there were any in Naruto that transformed that much. I thought of like Sasuke when he got like the curse mark. And I'm like, that's kind of a transformation, but his outfit didn't change.
Right.
So he gets to stay safe. He's not under the magical girl category, but it would be funny.
Very, very funny. but yeah, okay. So circling now into the main reason, before you have something before that?
Yeah. Ichigo's a magical girl because he gets a fun little mask. That's an outfit change.
Yeah, and he has the substitute Soul Reaper badge that he uses to turn into a Soul Reaper in the beginning of the show. I'll give you that one.
Thank you so much. So your favorite show is a magical girl show. So when you said that you wouldn't like that genre, yes, you do.
I'll give you that one.
Okay. I get what I want.
Yeah. I'll give you that one. That was good. Now, I didn't even click. It's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Circling into like the main reason I wanted to bring up the magical girl genre episode is Kiana Consmith, I think her name is. Or I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but
yeah, Kiana, I only know Kiana. Yeah.
She's a very popular content creator out there in the anime space. And she came up with an animatic for this new show she's trying to pitch called Pretty, Pretty Please, I Don't Want to Be a Magical Girl.
Yes.
And I would I'm going to riot if this show does not get picked up for us. It's like a full show.
Yes. Yes. So Taylor brought this up to me and I was like, absolutely. I'm going to give it a watch. I have been following Kiana for a while. Like I don't have a Twitter anymore, but I used to follow them on Twitter. And then I do follow Kiana on Instagram. And I, number one, am just obsessed with the art style that, that they use. Like, I'm just like obsessed with how cute and perfect, but still nostalgic the drawings are. Like, Kiana did this, this short for Jimmy Neutron as if Jimmy Neutron was getting a reboot. It was so beautiful and perfect. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I'm like, why are you not being hired by every major TV news station, anything, so that you can make whatever show you want?
Right.
But when you brought this up to me, I've seen for a while on the Instagram that like they've been promoting Pretty Please. I don't want to be a magical girl. And what a fun concept. I'll let you talk about the episode for a second because I mainly want to talk about the end.
Yes. Okay. So for those who have not watched it, it basically follows two girls, Aika. I think her name is Aika. She is a magical girl and she's but she wants to live a boring life. So basically it starts out, she's the main character. She's entering a new year of school at this new boring town and stuff like that. And she like wants to just kind of keep her low profile and not be in that whole realm of being a magical girl and saving the world and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
But then she meets this other girl called named Zira. And she's this very gloomy, reserved, introverted girl that's secretly wants to be a magical girl so bad and like reads all these magical girl manga, watches the animes, has all
calls it Moon Sailor or something.
Yeah, like read, I think she reads something called Moon Sailor. Like she has like the memorabilia and stuff. Like she has like a star in her beanie that kind of is like a little magical girl type star. And so it's basically those two meeting each other and going on adventures together. Part of me hopes that later on in the season, somehow Zira becomes a magical girl, but that'd be a whole other thing.
Yes, exactly.
So in the episode, they, Hoshi, I think it's this, is Hoshi is the pet. So we already, we've crossed that threshold of a prerequisite.
Rule number one.
Hoshi is this like star with wings that kind of grants, Aiko her powers and helps her transform her weapons into certain things. And they meet this villain called Eclipse, who's like an underling of like the main villainess or whatever. I forgot what her name was, but basically the episode is basically Aiko and Zira meeting each other, Eclipse like blow like coming in and like trying to find Aiko, and then Aiko finally transforming and showing Zira that she actually is a magical girl. They defeat Eclipse, and then they have a cliffhanger for like for future episodes and stuff like that. It's so well done. And my favorite part, obviously, like the best part everybody's gonna talk about is the fully animated like
clip.
Clips like the two like 1 to 2 minutes of it, which is like really funny, which I didn't think. I thought they would keep it PG, but they really like they swear in that show.
Yeah,
like it's very quick, and even like the fully animated part where Aiko turns her wand into a metal pipe and hits a lead to the knee. Pipe,
man, it's wild. That's so good. Like
it just
I don't know why. Whenever I see something like out of the ordinary for any magical or like superhero show, I always think of that super old superhero show that's like Shape of Water, and then it's like or like Shape of Water, Shape of Bucket, and I'm like Power of Lead Pipe.
Yeah,
like I don't know why that ran through my mind, but it's so good.
Yeah. It's just like, and the funniest part to me was when the impact where they have like this like comic book esque like sound thing that pops out. You know, like how they do that for like superhero shows.
Yeah,
it says "Holy shit!"
Yeah, when she hits him. It's so good. So what I really love about this, not only the fact that we rarely ever get any person of color as a magical girl. So I love that our main characters are of color. But what I love the most is everyone dreams, or the majority of people dream to be magical. And like, there's always that like escapism of mm-hmm. wanting a different life. So when she transforms, it's this 2 seconds of like, poof, like that's it. Like there's not even a cut sequence. It's just the clothes appear.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you saw my face because you saw me watch it. When yeah. she de-transforms and goes into her, like her regular clothes, I don't know why that touched me. Like, I thought that was so sweet. Like, man, this life that you're living is magical. Like, we're all magical girls. We put on our clothes every day and we transform into something new. And, Kiana, please. Please make this real.
I do think
the budget.
I do think it's a funny concept where,
yeah,
like this responsibility of being this magical girl that's supposed to save the planet, yeah, the world, like it's like, bro, I just want to be a middle schooler. Like, I don't want any of this, and I
don't want this responsibility.
I'd rather be a regular student, and that's what I love the subversion. This whole show being a subversion of the magical girl trope because of stuff like not having this big grandiose laser beam that shoots the enemy down. It's like, I'm going to turn this thing into a lead pipe and hit him in the knee or something like that.
Yeah.
And then transforming back into having a transforming sequence back into a human girl. Yes. It's just like,
it's beautiful.
Perfect. Perfect.
It gives me the same, not the same vibes, but it gives me the same like, hee hee ha ha as I did when I first watched One Punch Man, where it's like, we always assume the hero is going to be this very handsome or beautiful, very strong, big, ideal body type person. It's just a bald man.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a man with one very powerful punch and he gets the job done. That's it.
Yeah.
He's just a dude.
Yeah, and it's so funny that the concept of like the hero is supposed to like struggle and find like this inner courage and inner strength to beat the bad guy, but it's just like Saitama just punches him one time and he just explodes.
And he's happy with his life, right? Yeah. Like, he lives a very modest life. He eats his little ramen noodles in a cup. He's happy. That's a good message, I feel. Like, it's like, you just go on with your day and
for sure.
You live a good life.
And I think what I think Kiana does well with, I think, Zira's character is like that kind of, I don't know, I think like having the regular civilian character want to be the one to like have the responsibility of being a magical girl.
Yes.
And I think it's she had, they've written Zira really well to the point where like she's not like the super annoying character that just explains everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, she very much has her own personality, her own journey, and she's not necessarily there to just like be a foil to Aiko.
She's not just a sidekick. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not really a sidekick. Like, she's just kind of like, to be honest with you, I feel like this is low-key from Zira's perspective. I feel like it's not get introduced to Aiko first.
Yeah.
But I feel like the main character is probably going to shift more towards Zira than it is Aiko.
Right. It's going to be her own growth, right? Like, she's more of like a recluse and she has like a quiet little life. And now she's going to be involved with a magical girl and learn how to help people in her own way, even though she's not magical.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Please get funded.
Somebody pick this show up.
Please, if it isn't like, if it's not already going to get picked up by like Crunchyroll or somebody, like, please, somebody pick it up.
Look, man,
if
Hazbin Hotel can get picked up with the amount of shit they do all the time, this one can definitely get picked up. Oh my God, though, Kayla, I saw a clip from it. I've not watched the show, but I saw one clip from it.
Add it to the list. You're going to watch it.
Dog, I saw.
I mean, VisiPop has been on the internet for a very long time.
Yes, I'm just. I saw one clip of Hazbin Hotel, and I go, "Who?" It's like, I guess it was somebody's birthday or something, or somebody came out as gay or something, and then there's like a bunch of just jumping, like blurred out pics just jumping around on screen, and I'm like, "What? Who?"
I don't remember that episode. I'm gonna have to rewatch. Maybe I blurred that out. But I mean, they are in hell. Yeah. So there is that.
There is that.
But my favorite thing about that show is that it's a musical. I love a musical. and that's what annoys Andre, because I've tried to make him watch it. He's like, "I'm not interested at all." And I'm like, "You've wounded me deeply." I will try to make you watch it, and perhaps you'll be on my side, because it is funny.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah. My brother liked it. He watched the end, and he's waiting for the next season. So it's not impossible. But yeah, I mean, if anything can be taken from today's episode, is that you have to be your own magical girl. You got to get up every day. You got to put on your pants. And you gotta protect the world. Your world. Not the whole world. Just yours. And we move forward. And I think that's beautiful.
Also, romanticize your life. You can get dressed yes. and treat it like a magical girl transformation. You can
yes.
do that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Put on your favorite song. Clip it. Do a little dance. And then, yeah. Transform.
Right.
Say a chant to yourself like the Green Lantern. It's the same thing.
That's so funny. That's so funny. I'm just in brightest day. In brightest night. Oh, God.
Putting on your pants in brightest day. In darkest night. No evil shall escape my sight. I always forget how the chant goes after that.
I care. It was like, I'm Green Lantern, like something
Green
Lantern's
light.
Green
Lantern's light. Yeah, in between.
I don't know.
Zoe would
know.
He would. Zoe would know. Today's like episode is called like Magical Girls. Zoe would know.
Yeah.
Magical Girls, what are they? Zoe would know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's so funny.
You got anything else? Or is that it?
No, I mean I just love this topic. I think that if people haven't watched a Magical Girl show before, listen, there's going to be a lot of bright colors. Yes, there are obscene amounts of pink. But at the end of the day, it's got a lot of heart. And you're just going to feel good after you watch it. A silly little show. Silly little magic time.
Yeah.
Just have fun. Life is short. Have fun. That's the last thing I gotta say.
Thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode. That's all we have for today. I've been Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Kay likes everything. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.